Okay, today is Sunday, June 13th, 2021. Let me not mess up the date, and let's roll. Some comments on past Shayurim. Jack wrote to me about someone that arranges non-Jewish tour groups to come Leil Shabbos to Jewish homes for a meal. And I have to tell you, I know the person who is in charge, Rav Yeshua Lux, totally reliable, Talmud Chacham, and no problem. The food is cooked before Shabbat. It's only on Yom Tov that we have a problem, but this is not a problem at all. And I know he's brought in some fascinating groups, Chinese, Japanese, etc., in addition to the normal groups that seek to observe Jews and try to understand what our Torah is about. With the plague or the pandemic, whatever you wish to call it, this has come to a halt. Obviously, it may be continued in the future, but right now we're at a halt for obvious reasons. I also want to mention, I think Rabbi Grinstein sent this to me, I'm not certain, but very fascinating. The minicare has been for, we have to be makar of our Arab cousins and Jews, not only Jews, chief rabbis participate in the Ramadan celebrations and the feast breaking the fast. I have a whole article in front of me dealing with it. And Menachem Gottlieb, I know Gottlieb, I'm not exactly sure who Menachem Gottlieb is, but I know many Gottliebs, a whole article with all the sources, including Rav Menashe Klein, that we've quoted in class, that it's absolutely forbidden to attend, to go, Rabbanim, it's non-Jews, etc. Fascinating, the sources he brings, some of which we've discussed in class. Halacha Lemaisa, I don't know if I agree with the psak here. We're dealing with, and whenever you deal with Mohammedans, it's infinitely better than dealing with Christians. You will understand why, because they're monotheistic. And once you're dealing with a monotheistic cousin, I don't have to tell you the Meiri's viewpoint, etc. And here we're dealing, as we'll see later today, mipnei dakei shalom, we're living together. The more we can live b'shalom u'b'shalva and mutual respect and understanding, it will be a wonderful country, and chas v'chalila will never go through what we went through just a few weeks ago with riots and murders and killings right by our neighbors on the same floor in the same building. Lud, Akko, many examples, Jaffa, what went on. Indescribable. Our police department was totally impotent. Exclamation point. Okay, but interesting. We've opened up a Pandora's box. These questions are not easy. Regarding what we're going to be dealing with today, Chassid Shelter, so a number of comments. David Newman writes, and he's in Cleveland and very close to the Hasidic element in Cleveland, and his father was a Hasidic survivor and close to the Telz people. And he writes to me, many years ago, my late father gave a ride to Rebbetzin Gifter. She asked my father if he minded if she would sit in the front seat. And so it was. She told my father, you may be wondering why I wanted to sit in the front seat, because I did not want anyone to think you are my chauffeur, my balagala. So I believe this is a very beautiful comment by Rebbetzin Gifter. And these stories with the Gifter family are endless. Rav Gifter himself, his feet were firmly planted on the ground. I lectured about him years ago, if you may recall, and with Das Torah. And I've made the point, and I think I'm correct, that it's one of the tragedies for the Jewish people that they didn't let Rav Gifter remain in Israel. Tel Stone was built for Telz to have a branch here, and the Litvisha Tarif tells to arrive in Israel, and Mr. Stone of American Greeting Cards, not a poor man, think about the he sponsored the a good deal of the Art Scroll publications, the Chumash, etc. It's called the Stone Chumash. And they ordered him back to America because they had no one to replace Rav Sarutskin, who had just died quite young. And that's one of the tragedies of the Litvashi Yeshiva, that because they're family institutions, if you're not in the family, you can't be the Rosh Yeshiva. And it's a sad comment. I've said more than once, why you is to be complimented that someone like Aaron Rakefet can sit here and give Torah and be lionized by the OU on the lecture on this past Wednesday when they videoed me, made a film of the interview from America to Israel. You got to give credit to YU. All right, now I found out 40 years later that I have the biggest yichus in the world. Rabbi Revel was my blood cousin, the founder of what is Yeshiva University. But that came 40, 50 years, 60 years later. Kaliach Yad, I found out where Kalvariski is, etc. But you got to give credit to YU. So Rabbi Gifter came back to America, and he never unpacked. He didn't buy a house. He lived in the dormitory. I mean, it's legendary. He loved Israel. He wanted to come back desperately. And before you knew it, God called him in, which, unfortunately, we're only human beings. A mensch bleibt der Mensch. And we think we can live another 20, 30, 40 years and be productive, but your time is limited. And what happened was Tel Stone never amounted to anything as far as Tel's yeshiva. And the old Tel's on the other side of the ocean has never amounted to anything as well, because they never found the proper replacement for the Tel's of family. And what you have today of Tel's is in Chicago and Riverdale branches that are not the original Tel's, not Chicago, not Wycliffe. Certainly not Tel Stone, but at least to a certain degree they perpetuate the Tel's tradition, to a certain degree. Leave it for another time when we deal with the East European yeshivat. One other comment, and by Dr. Bill Gvirtz, he talks about a shir that he went to in 1966 by Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik in YU, and the shir covered many topics. One of the last topics concerned a woman asking a boy at Yeshivat Rabbeinu Chaim, a boy who studied at Yeshivat Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, for help crossing the street. The boy recoiled. This was witnessed by a gentleman who came into the Beit Medrash, thought the boy was in Rabbi Aaron's shir, and complained to Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, "This is the type of Talmud you raised, that an elderly woman asks for help when crossing the street, and he refuses." He was not in Rabbi Aaron's shir, but Rabbi Aaron called the boy over and gave him a severe musa talk. Then with a broad smile, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik answered, "Since I came to Yeshiva University, I have not had such problems." So, Hamevin Yavin, the difference between YU to Yeshiva University. All right, those are the comments. Yes, Yomo.
I'm Berlin. Rabbi said Yeshiva, YU and Yeshiva
University. Oh, excuse me. Yomo's correcting me. Thank you, Yomo. Difference between YU and Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. All right, we're ready to roll, and as I said, today is an important shia. It's the final shiur of the year in the Sunday class, but you'll see why. Okay, so we dealt with the question, and again, the questions we're touching upon about Jew-Gentile relations, these questions border on Dinei Nefashot, the pathological hatred for the Jewish people, for the state of Israel, the anti-Semitism. It's beyond comprehension. For those of us that have lived the Holocaust, myself, Yitz Rubin, we certainly remember the Holocaust well. Our lives were totally affected by it, although we were in America at the time. But even on a simple level, our Rebbeim, who changed our lives, where would Yitz be today? Where would I be today? I don't know. Bronx High School of Science graduate, a medical doctor like my parents wanted, like my esteemed brother, my middle brother became. I don't know what Yitz's parents wanted out of him, but we had Rebbeim Shanghai survivors, and we're both looking at each other now and shaking our heads in awe what they did for us. I look at Dov's father and uncle, Shanghai survivors, Holocaust, over second generation, and we can go on and on. So these questions are dinei nefashot. And you saw the Tana de Eliyahu last week, Einach Hinami, to eat with the Goyim, to drink with the Goyim. Before you know it, you kiss the Goya, and you're married, and your children are Goyim Gemurim. Look, I don't want to mention too many names, but look at Alan Dershowitz, who threw away Yiddishkeit in Harvard Law School, and look where his grandchildren are today. Hashem Yirachem. So we have to keep our distance. On the other hand, Darkei Shalom, there's a block party. You won't understand this. There's Italians in New York. Maybe in a block party, Shalom Venachat. What we've spoken about now, breaking the fast, Ramadan, very fascinating. The chief rabbi goes, Rabbi David Lau is not an Amoritz, I can tell you that. I just had a long talk with my eldest daughter yesterday on Shabbat about the Dayanim and what they've accomplished, and she knows the Dayanim inside out, and she told me Rabbi David Lau is an ace. She said he is absolutely an ace. And there are others who we wish would be aces, but they're not. And so I'm not here to paskin, but here you need the fifth Shulchan Aruch, what Rebbe Chochanan spoke about. You need a lot of halachic common sense, Jewish common sense, to reach a decision halacha l'maisa. Then, me'inyan li'inyan li'oto inyan, we came into the whole question again, Rav Menashe Klein. I'll give you the source once again, Chelek He, Siman Kuf Mem Aleph. A non-Jewish lady falls down. Are you allowed to go over and help her stand up, to hold on to her, to lift her? And unfortunately, I can tell you, at my age with meniscus, I have fallen down, and I know what it's like to fall down, and you don't have the ability, your knees don't enable you to stand up. You don't have that ability. It's called meniscus. And I always say it begins men, meniscus, because men have it more than women. But it's one of the reasons we fall, and I fell, I told you, on the way to Gris, and Machon Lev boys ran over and picked me up. I'm a total stranger to them, and they were mamash and gemilat chesed shein kedug mato. But on the other hand, male to male is not a problem. Here's a non-Jewish woman, she fell, and to go pick her up. So we started the tshuva last week. And what's amazing is Rav Menashe Klein's attitude. Rav Menashe Klein, every guy in the world is chayav mitah. Chayav mitah because he's not makayim the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. And again, we ended off the shir. I said, this is a shocking statement. On the other hand, if the New York Times comes to us and says, Rakefet, you're quoting Rav Menashe Klein, and you're quoting such a shocking statement, I'll tell the New York Times you have to understand where he's coming from. He's a Holocaust survivor. He went through the hell of the death camps. He got out with miracles. His whole life was changed, affected, altered. And you have a complaint to him? And how do you want this man to think after what he went through? I called your attention, we ended off the shiur, that this is very fascinating, the difference between the Lubavitcher Rebbe's approach and Rav Menashe Klein. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, and that was the story I told you about Melbourne, and I still shiver and shake when I think of the story. I gave my shiur, we finished, we're davening, Mizrahi, over Bnei Akiva, and they're honoring me with the tour of Melbourne shuls, and there I see Jews coming. It was about 11:30, they're coming out of shul, a big shul, and people with long beards, women, everyone dressed sneeristically, piously, and they say to me, those aren't Jews. So what do you mean they aren't Jews? And they come over, Shabbos. And they tell me these, they spoke to, they introduced me, a rabbi from Jerusalem. These were Gentiles who are Hasidim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rebbe started a whole program, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, he calls it Noachites. And I told you, you can pick up on the video clippage of the Rebbe giving out dollars. You have Texas all people, Goyim Gemurim, saying to the Rebbe, we are your Hasidim. They can't pronounce Chet, Hasidim. And we observe Sheva Mitzvah, and the Rebbe blesses them and encourages them. So you see, there's an entirely different viewpoint here. But obviously, the Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't go through the death camps. He did go through part of the World War II in France at the start. But he got out in 1941 with miracles, joined, he and his wife joined her father, the sixth Rebbe in New York. But it was a totally different approach. But now, to have this approach, why did Rav Menashe Klein feel that the Gentiles are chayav mitah? Because you all know there's Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We Jews have Tayak Mitzvot. But every mitzvah, for instance, if you mavatel a mitzvah taseh, all right, no severe punishment. You do a lo taseh, could be malchut, the mitzvah have korat, mitat beitin. But it's very rare that you can say a person is chayav mitah if you put together the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. I gave you sources last week. You all know the Mishnah in Makkah, that I have to go further. And a guy named Rakefet gave lectures years ago, the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And Mori Rebbe the Rav many times spoke about it. One is Midat HaDin, one is Midat HaChesed. Halacha L'maisa, we don't believe in a death penalty. There's no death penalty in Israel outside of genocide crimes or a traitor. And that's a result of the foundness of the state of Israel. Even if they were eight Chazar and Yom Kippur, they still had learned in their youth and knew what Torah was about. It's unlike today's generation that can eat Chazar and Yom Kippur and has no background at all. They've never learned the Pasuk Chumash with Rashi in North Tel Aviv. It's a different world together, different problems, totally different than Ben-Gurion's Epachwa era. But a guy, Sheva Mitzvot, every part of it is a chiyuv mit if he doesn't observe. So now, I'll show you the sources in a minute, and everything I'm quoting, the sources are all in Rav Menashe Klein's tshuva. But then you'll make an argument, you'll say, and we all know this is part of Yiddishkeit, all of you involved in outreach. I was in the rabbinate, suburban Essex County. I was involved in the rabbinate, total outreach. I'm dealing with Jews, Mechalalei Shabbos, Ochlein Avelot and Trefat. Did I ever smell Boel Bilat Asura, Nida? Today it's Boel Bilat Asura, way beyond only Nida. Did I ever tell them off? Did I ever spit in their face? Did I ever yell at them? Did I ever rebuke them? Herbie Maltz knows me from the Newark area. Never in my life did I rebuke them. Tinokat Shenishbu, that's a halacha. The Shaila comes up all the time. You're sitting at the table Friday night. You have guests over, and you forgot to buy Yayin Mavushal. You have regular wine, high-quality wine that was not the boiled. And your guest, the Machal Shabbos, touches it. No? Yitzchak, do you drink the rest of the bottle? Or do you just, oy vey, and you all know the tshuva, these are not Mechalalei Shabbos, they're Tenakut Shanishpu, they don't know any better. It's a Rachmanis, Afsei, I'm forgetting my English already. It's a Rachmanut for them, what they didn't learn, they weren't inspired, they don't know, they don't understand. The Vice President of the United States is married to a Jew. No, if I meet him, tall, good-looking guy, I couldn't believe it. And all right, Tam v'reich, Englich itvakeach, love is blind. What do they say? Don't make love at the neighbor's gate. Love is blind, but the neighbor's ain't. Look who he's married to. And she's vice president of the United States. Not a small matter. And the president is no youngster. Who knows if she will not yet become president. And you look at him, Machalos Shabbos, they call her Mamala, I'm told, Kamela, they call her, the family calls her Mamala. So I meet him, you Shagets, you Weisslaf, you Trumpenik, you bum, married to a non-Jew, Machalos Shabbos, I couldn't avail it from Tlefa. Will I accomplish anything? But it's a Rachmanish, when Malamed Schut, Hinakut Shenishbu, look at the Rambam Hilchot Mamrim, Perik Bet, Halachalif Bet, you'll see what I'm talking about, black and white. Tshuvot in modern times, endless tshuvot on this topic. And we have a very liberal attitude towards Jews who do not observe. No? If this is the case, Aaron Rakefet, how do you dare call Reb Menashe Klein so strident? Chayev Mita. If we have a benevolent attitude to Jews who do not observe, Allah had kama v'kama, a non-Jew, what do we want out of him? He didn't learn. He didn't go to yeshiva. He doesn't know what the sheva mitzvah are. What do you want out of him? All right, so first of all, you have to know there's an open Gemara, and it's not a simple Gemara, by the way. I'm not going to elaborate. I'll just give you the simple pshat and quote Schottenstein to you. But there's an open Gemara in Makot that a non-Jew can never plead ignorance. It's like a basic concept in secular law. You're driving, you go through a red light. The cop stops you. Officer, I didn't know that there are red lights in this neighborhood. I didn't know you're not allowed to go through a red light. I'll give you a better example. You grew up in Long Island. In Long Island, you turn right on a red light. As long as there are no cars coming, you turn right. In England, do you turn right on a red light? What's the law there? No, you drive? What are you thinking? A red light? No. But I grew up, a red light, you can't turn left, you can't turn right. Long Island, or I think Florida too, you can turn right on a red light. Okay, so you come to Israel, and you turn right on a red light, the officer stops you, Adoni HaShoter, I'm in New York, Long Island, and you give him a whole spiel. He says, Atav Amaretz Gamur, gives you a doch, a ticket, what does he care? They don't turn right on a red light there. You should have learned the laws of Israel. There you can turn, over there you can turn right in Long Island, here you can't. And I have to tell you, until today, whenever I'm a red light a long time, I'm so tempted to turn right. You have no idea. No car is coming. What's wrong if I turn right? But all right, driving, you know how many people were killed over Shabbos last night. Driving, you got to obey the laws. When it comes to a guy, he says, I didn't know I can't kill someone. I didn't know I can't steal. I didn't know that I have to set up courts of justice. I didn't know that I have to lead a sexually proper life. We'll give you a teretz for everything. I don't know. I never learned. I was never taught. I went to Harvard. I went to Yale. I read the New York Times every day. And I never heard one word about what a non-Jew is responsible for. Well, a tinuk shenish by all our outreach. Chabad, I don't want to say it publicly, but you all know there are Chabad shuls all over the world, where there are parking lots that are filled. I told you in New Jersey, in Florida, in Hollywood, they opened up a new Chabad shul, and a Jew, Morris Engelberg, in whose arms Joe DiMaggio died, another name you don't know. Baruch Hashem, you were ruined when you were in BMT. So Morris Engelberg came back to his people. He built the shul, beat the Beit Medrash, sponsors a Shabbos dinner once a month. People drive. All right, Chabad has its own viewpoint, its own shita. A lot has been written on this, but the Tinoket Shenishbu, they don't know any better. the big Orthodox shul in Atlanta, Georgia, Beth Jacob, the parking lot is open on Shabbos. It's unbelievable. And that's already a Ne Yisrael shul, Rabbi Ruderman's influence, the Feldman, the Rabbi Feldman Sr., Rabbi Feldman Jr., and they tell me many people who drove later bought Shabbat homes. The whole concept of a Shabbat home originated in Atlanta. They bought apartments to be near the shul, no one driving. And all right, Tinoka Chineshbu, and a guy who robs, steals, illicit sex, al pidin is chayev mita, Reb Menashe Klein is right. And this is the Gemara, that he can plead ignorance. Ignorance of the law is not a valid excuse. Gemara in Makot Daf Tet Amud Aleph, beginning on Tet Amud Aleph at the bottom, it carries over to Tet Amud Beit. And it deals, Hagoyim Tzadik Taharog, it deals with Avimelech, who took Sarah. He asked Avraham, who is this beautiful lady? And Avraham said, it's my sister. Avimelech got all excited. He had another wife, a beautiful lady, took her in. And did he get into trouble? And he pleads with God, are you going to kill me? I'm ignorant. I didn't know. And the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, Va'ata hashev eshet ha'ish ki navihu. He knows you didn't touch her. Return her. And the Gemara asks, what does this mean? He's a Navi. If he wouldn't be a Navi, he shouldn't return her? And what do you mean, Navi? What's that important to tell the guy? Return her. She's an Eshet Ish, period. And if he wasn't a Navi, you shouldn't return her? So the Gemara says, look, what you did was wrong. What does it mean, wrong? Avraham Avinu was very smart. He was a Navi. He was not a plain, simple person. He was very upset when you asked the question, who is she? He said right away, there's something the matter with you. What are you asking about who is she? You should ask, what are you doing here? Do you want to invest here? You want to become a citizen in Canada? Jack, Canada, anyone can become a citizen. You have to invest, what is it, $100,000 Canadian? Or whatever, you don't know. But the 50,000 Canadian, whatever it is. Anyone can become what are you doing here? What money do you have? I went in, you come into Russia, communist Russia, go back to January 1981. How much money do you have on you? You have to file a list of all the hard currency. And when you go out, you have to account for all the hard currency you brought in. What did you do with it? All right, that's what people are interested in. That's what a government is interested in. That's what a communist government is interested in. Israel was the same way until the Likud took over and got rid of the old communism here. You have no idea what it was like 50, 40 years ago. Of course, today you're kicking out Netanyahu, you're kicking out the Likud. But we owe them a lot of thanks that there's no black market anymore, that the dollar is a legal currency, that you don't have to look over your shoulder. We once asked Baron Lichtenstein in this very building every Thursday night in the 70s, a black marketeer would come in to change money. So the boys asked the Baron, not BT, the Kollel fellas, are you allowed to deal with the black market? And Rabbi Aaron was a big tzaddik, you know that. Very ethical and very moral, went out of his way to pay taxes, way beyond most ordinary good Jews here. And Rabbi Aaron said, I don't know whether it's mutter or not, but one thing I can tell you, the government also uses the black market. And that was exactly true. Sapir, because Sapir would be in the papers, he just went to the black market and got rid of $100,000. So if Sapir can go to the black market and the papers can publish it, obviously it's a law on the books that is not enforced. But anyway, that's the questions you ask, not about someone's wife. The fact that you ask them about his wife Abraham Avinu understood already, he's a Navi. He understood your intentions. He knew that because she's so beautiful, that he would take her for himself. And that's why he lied to you. Return her immediately. And don't use any excuses. And this is the basic shot in the Gemara. I'll quote to you from Art Scroll, their comment. And I have to tell you, Art Scroll, when I foam at the mouth, it's on their history books. That could you imagine writing on the history of Torah in the United States and not paying homage to Rabbi Dr. Bernard Revel, the first man to turn the soil? And book after book, he doesn't exist. Then you write on stories with the Mechita that he was upset at YU, he wanted to go to Torah Vidah. How can you write that if his own children were Yeshiva College graduates? All right, let it be. But on the Gemara, I'm quoting from the Perish on Makot 9b, footnote 5, Avimelech should have learned proper behavior, Derech Eretz. He's quoting Rashi. Had he done so, he would have known that his question regarding Sarah was improper and that it might have prompted Avraham to lie. Therefore, he cannot absolve himself by claiming he had been told that Sarah was Avraham's sister, since it was his own negligence that led to this deception. Beautiful. This episode consequently proves that a Noahite who commits a capital crime he thought was permissible is held accountable for not having learned the required information. And the footnote refers you to more sources. But halacha l'maisa, when it comes to a Jew, and believe me, over the 62 years I've been privileged to teach Torah, I have taught many students who in their youth were mechalalei Shabbos, ochlei nevelet and treifet. I can even tell you, I had incidents, boel bilata surat, but they were tinokot shenishbu. A Jew is judged with a different standard. A non-Jew, no excuse in the world can help. Chayav mita, should have learned, should have known. This is Rabbi Menashe Klein. Powerful, powerful. All right, now we come to the main source, and I hope I'm going to solve a major problem, how much ink has been spilled on this Rambam. First of all, the Rambam paskins the Gemara in Makot Halacha L'maisa, Hilchot Malachim, Perik Asiri Yud, Halacha Aleph, right at the end of the Halacha, 10:1. Avolim Yoda Shehi Eshet Chaveram. V'lo yada shehi asura olav. Elo ala libo shezevel doveze mutalo. V'chein im harag v'hu lo yada shasur laharog. Harei ze korov lemezit v'neherag. V'lo tachshol v'zu lachem shkaga mipnei shachayelo lilmod. There it is, halacha l'maisa, exactly like the Gemara in Makot. He should have learned, he should have known, there's no tinok shenishba. He killed someone that he was convinced he had the right to do it. He committed an incestual relationship. Chayav mita. No excuses. And that's the halacha in relation to a Gentile. And this is one of the reasons that Reb Menashe Klein says, every Gentile in the world is chayav mita, in the year 2021. Wow. Quite shocking. Okay? Now let's go a step further. Mark, Lena, I wouldn't advocate you walking around Chicago and quoting the Rambam Beprechesia at this moment in time. But this is the Rambam, this is the Gemara in Makot, this is Reb Menashe Klein. Well, what's this all about? Rambam, Hilchot Malachim, Perikhet, Halacha Yud. Very important Rambam. Moshe Rabbeinu lo hinchil haTorah mitzvot ele Yisrael. Shenemar Moresheh ki'ilat Yaakov. First of all, Torah mitzvot, only the Jews have to observe. It's axiomatic, it's elementary. Zil krei beit avohu, only Jews. Torah is not for the world. A lot has been written on this topic. Why didn't God give the Torah to the whole world? The Torah itself says, Dvarim, lo meidu b'chem mikol ha'amim chashak b'chem Hashem. And I think the answer is very simple. How many Jews do we have in the world today? Halakhic Jews, 11 million, 12 million. I'm overstating the case. They say officially, I think, 15 million, but it's halakhically, it's not so. In America, you say 5 million Jews. We're lucky if we have 3 million Jews in America, halakhic Jews. How many are Shomer Shabbos? How many are Shomer Shabbos? With all the frum Jews in New York, and it's a lot better than it was when I was growing up, you still don't have 50% of the Jews Shomer Shabbos. England, what would you say the percentages of the Jews Shomer Shabbos? 20%? 20%, okay. Halavai. South Africa has the largest percentage of Shomrei Shabbos of any area outside of Israel. And they say it's because of the Balei Tshuva there, the Rabnet. Again, it's very united. There's only one Heksha. Everyone gets along. And it's a tremendous amount of Balei Tshuva. The President of the United States, Biden's son, Hunter, Kishmo Kane, who he evidently is not exactly, I don't know, the charges against him are pretty strong, but he's an etrog. They got him carefully to get rid of Trump. And he married a Jewish girl. Her whole family is from, but she's the eldest, I understand, and left the house before they became Balei Tshuva. Could you imagine South Africa? And there was a whole shaila, if you recall, does her son that she had from Hunter need a pidgin haben? A whole shaila, if you need a pidgin haben, when do you do it? You need a pidgin haben. I don't know, maybe her father is a Levi, father is a Kohen, mother, etc. Has to all be checked. And then who does the pidgin haben? Hunter can't do it, he's not Jewish. Does the Beitin, remember I spoke about it, does the Beitin do it, or do you leave it for the boy to grow up and the village put something around his neck to remind him, Ani chayav v'pidyon haben kishani et bager. All right. We'll leave it to the poskim in Washington to deal with. So Torah, could you imagine if you gave the Torah to the whole world, there'd be nothing left. Lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim. Torah, Jewish people, chosen nation, chosen for what? Chosen to be a beacon of light to the world, chosen to civilize the world, chosen to give the Sheva Mitzvah to the world, but we want Jews to remain. So it's a small amount of people. Maybe when it's only 12 million instead of 12 billion, we can have influence and teach Torah and Baruch Hashem have a hardcore, even in the paganistic world in which we live, Shomrei Torah of Mitzvot b'vlo muvan hamila, in the full sense of the word, Baruch Hashem. So the world, no, we don't, they have nothing to do with Torah Moshe. Nevertheless, the Rambam Paskins, who l'chala rotze lehitkayem ishach u'umot, shenema kechem kegea. Those who want to convert we welcome with open arms. And as I explained to Jack, I'm well aware of the Gemaras in Yevamot, Daf Chaf Dalet, Daf Mem Vav, Mem Zayin. We try to scare them. We want them to realize the seriousness of what it means to become a Jew. It's not licking a lollipop that's always sweet. But if they say V'afal Pikein, and we understand it, V'afal Pikein, we welcome them with open arms. And Chas V'Chalila, we should say to a Ger, what the heck? Who are you? You're no more than a Goy. And as you know, even from Hitler's family, they're Gerim in Yerushalayim, and kids poked fun at them. They went Chorev. Those kids should have been punished severely, should have been rebuked. How do you speak that way to a Ger? B'nei Banav Shel Sisro? Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak, etc., etc. All right. Then the Rambam goes on. Wow. Abo Misha Lodatzav. Someone doesn't want to convert. Ain't Kofino Tola Kabel Torah Mitzvah. We don't force him. V'chein Sivam Moshe Rabbeinu Mipi HaGvura Lakuf Et Kol Baruei Holam Lekabel Kol HaMitzvot Shenitztavu Noach. The Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, that we have to force them. V'chol Mishalo Kibel Yehareg. This is the psak of the Rambam. Wow, so you see the Mishnah Halacha knew what he was talking about. You don't have to be a Holocaust survivor. It's the Rambam, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Mipivano Chayim, Mimoshe ad Moshe, Lokam Kamoshe. Where would we be without the Rambam? By the way, the Rav said there was an anniversary of the Rambam. I remember in his time, 750 years, whatever it was, and there were big festivities. And the Rav said, you all know my family. We make our living off the Rambam. What is Rav Chaim if not Chiddushei Rabbeinu Chaim al Rambam? He says, but I got to be honest, he says, without Rashi, we wouldn't know how to learn a Daf Gemara. So, all right, with all the respect between Rashi and the Rambam, but Rashi Pashit gives us Shatnestein. This has started the whole world of what does the Gemara mean? Rashi? Without Rashi, we can't get off the floor. Afterwards come Steinsaltz and Schottenstein and all that we have. But the Rambam, all the halakha we have, it's the Rambam. Putting it into a code, putting it into a format, organizing it. All right, this is the Rambam. That you are we Jews are obligated. The Lubavitch Rebbe is now, you can't say he's off course. The Lubavitch Rebbe, all right. It's obvious, first we got to reach out to Jews, but we got to reach out to Gentiles as well. And the Lubavitch Rebbe, Shichmo Lamala, he was a spiritual leader, I have to say, not just for the Jews, but for non-Jews as well. I remember walking in downtown Brooklyn, and they were in the shopping center, and a guy is standing there. It was a whole, not a push cart, but a whole setup on the street. They were selling it. There were other, and I see this, an Afro-American, obviously didn't appear to be Jewish. And he had a picture of the Rebbe behind him. And it had underneath writing, there was one spiritual leader who rose above all others. And I saw that. Well, I would imagine he observes the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. All right. So this is fine. Ignorance is no excuse. Sheva Mitzvot you have to observe. You don't observe Chayav Mitah. Now we come to probably one of the most famous Rambams in all of Mishneh Torah. Halacha Yud Aleph. This is Perek Chet, Halacha Yud Aleph. Kol hamakabel sheva mitzvot v'nisa la'asotam harei ze mechasidei umat ha'olam v'yesh lo chelik l'olam hapa. What a Rambam. What a religion. What a Torah. how different we are than the Gentiles and the Mohammedans on this level, that if a non-Jew accepts upon himself the Sheva Mitzvot, his status is Hasid Umat Olam, and he has a share in Olam Haba. And by the way, in Pirkei Reb Eliezer, there's one reading, Hareze Hasid Umat Olam, V'yesh lo chelik Olam Haba, K'Yisrael. Could you imagine this? And it may be the correct reading. Again, manuscripts have to be checked, but we can never reach a final conclusion because we don't know if we have all the manuscripts, obviously. But what an open-mindedness, what a broad-mindedness. And I have to tell you, I feel 100% like this. I've often asked myself the question, who do I have more in common with, a Jew who's Machal of Shabbos, can I talk to him? Or a non-Jew who observes and has Derech Eretz and Sheva Mitzvot? It's an interesting question. Obviously, it's the Jew that I have more in common with, but sometimes you feel more at home with a Catholic, a Protestant. They observe. I remember when that woman was being questioned for the Supreme Court, the practicing Catholic, I loved her answers. I saw this was a woman of faith, of commitment, of a beautiful family, of values. And this is the Rambam, that the Hasidei Umat Olam v'yesh lo chelik li'olam haba. Ah, but watch. Now you come to the apex. For who she kibel otan v'yasotan v'tnei she'tziva b'chema kadosh baruch hu b'torah for hodiyanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu she'b'nei Noach mikodem nitztavu b'chem. And this only applies to a non-Jew who says, I am observant and I follow the Sheva Mitzvot b'nei Noach and I visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe because Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us. I understand this goes back to Noach, the seven basic concepts of proper, decent, upright human behavior. It is not something foisted, invented by man, but it is divine revelation. Wow. Avalim ason mipnei hechreya hadat ein zeget toshev v'yeinu machishmeinu mei chasidi umat olam ela mei chachameihem. And the Rambam adds on, but what if you have? The Rav studied in Berlin. He said that professors, philosophy, Heidegger, others, what upright people. But these people, they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe in revelation. They were not mechassidei umot olam. I heard from Mori Rebbe that afterwards some of them became Nazis, advocates of Hitler. Heidegger's the prime example. It's beyond comprehension. The Rav couldn't get over that dichotomy. Someone he admired, looked up to, knowledgeable, decent, ethical, and then a Nazi. And these people, the Rambam says, Elamei Chachameim, all right, they reached a decision that in order for the world to survive, you need courts of justice. You can't kill. You can't rob. You have to live an upright sexual life. Otherwise, the world is finished. We have no children. You have a woman being sworn in today as a Sarah b'Memshelet Yisrael, Meirav Michaeli, opposed to marriage, opposed to having children. It's beyond comprehension. I just spoke with Reb David, Reb David Miller before, so he thought she's a lesbian. No, she's not a lesbian. She has a boy, that their boyfriend, they've been living together for years. It's a wonderful relationship. They get along, respect, live, monogamous. He lives one apartment above her. They don't marry on principle. And she's being sworn in today. All right, this is... She doesn't commit sexual crimes. All right, there are, neither, etc. She's a pilegish, fine. I'm not an Amoritz. I know that you have Rabbi Yaakov Emden, pilegish, Bisman Haser. I saw the New York Times, too. Believe me, I gave shirim on it with 1,000 sources, but many, many years ago, in the Kollel. But it's nothing to do with divine revelation. This is, if you're a non-Jew, you're a chacham. But it's not a kiyum of sheva mitzvot. You're not a chassid. You have no share in the world to come. This is what the Rambam paskins. No? Where's the source? You can look through all of Shas. There's no source. What we say in the Gemara, the whole sugya in Sanhedrin, a guy has to observe Sheva Mitzvot. Why does it trouble us? A guy will be ethical, will be moral. And he can say, I'm a total atheist. I'm a total agnostic. But I believe in the seven Sheva Mitzvot. I think it's wonderful. This is the basis of civilization. This is how we'll survive. I don't have to believe. What's wrong with him? Who requires him to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Where did the Rambam get this? And looking to, it's a tremendous question. I want you to know, so much has been written. Is this the proper Yisr in the Rambam? But I have to tell you, I checked out. As far as we can see, this is the proper Yisr in the Rambam. It seems there's another one that says, V'lomei Chachameyim, he's a stupid fool if he doesn't believe in God, but that's a secondary Girsa. But even with that Girsa, why should he be a stupid fool? He's a Chacham. What do we have against him? What's bothering us? What's troubling us? Why don't we declare him Chasidu Matolam? Why don't we declare him Yesh Lo Chelek Liolam Haba? Why are we so stingy? Why are we negligent here? Where did the Rambam get this? Why do we put them down? Why are we negative? It's a good... Why do we dismiss him? Well, look into the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah Taka says that what the Rambam writes in Italy, Sherabbeinu Omer Kach, Misvarat denafshei. There's no source for it. The Rambam, logical. No one ever accused the Rambam of not having a great mind. The man who wrote the Mora Nevuchim. So he reached this logical conclusion. Is it logical? Rational? Why? What's troubling him? Okay. The fact that there's no source, some of you have studied Mishnah Torah inside out, you know very well, many times, the Rambam Taka says, nearly. And he'll tell you, this is my thinking. Sometimes it's a machloikis between the Goyim, between his teachers, but nearly. So he has a right to his own thought. The Kesef Mishnah hits the nail on the head. There's no source in all of Shas for this. Why? Why did the Rambam say this? Mendelssohn deals with it. You have no idea how many people have written about this. My dear students, the Rambam is 1,000,000,000,000% right. And sitting here in the year 2022, we see before our eyes why the Rambam is right. When there's a Dvar Hashem, it commands obedience. We have to live with halacha. This is what Torah is about. Na'aseh v'nishma. To the outsider it sounds terrible. We're coerced, we're forced, we have no freedom of choice. When someone comes and observes a Shabbat, when someone sees a Jewish family, they're overwhelmed over joy. They're dancing with joy, as we'll see in our Monday class when we deal with Shlomo Lach and when we deal later with Esther Jungreis. But the outsider does not there. Command obedience. My brother just a week ago, my brother lives here. I brought an aliyah. He came in 73, we came 69. So once a year, he takes the whole family, rents the whole village. And he couldn't do it a year ago, Corona. He just did it 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, Shabbos, Kibbutz Washington. Sent me a picture of his family. You cannot believe how many direct descendants are sitting in that picture. It's like a village unto itself. No, when you see Yireyim v'shleimim, filled with love, filled with Torah. I'm very proud, all right? I don't equal that, but I'm not that far behind, I'll put it that way. But he has Baruch Hashem, one daughter who reproduced what Hitler killed. God bless her. You look at that, then you look at the assimilated families, what remains of them, Ashreinu u'matov chalkeinu, asher b'chabonu mikol ha'goyim v'nachemonu, et torato, shenatan lanu torat emet. Wow. Beautiful. Good. But if you don't have that concept that God commands obedience, then basically you're an idol worshiper. You're worshiping yourself. The norms do not come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The norms come from you. It's not Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You're the master. What were we taught? Go to university. You're the master of your own dignity, your own life, your own culture. No one can tell you what to do. We're smarter than our parents and grandparents. So you reach a conclusion. And here again I quoted this many times, you're growing up in the 50s, the whole world had certain basic good moral standards. Dennis Prager is part. I went to Flatbush Yeshiva. Had I gone to a regular high school in Brooklyn, outside of specifically Jewish rituals, I would have had the same values. You didn't get married until you were ready. You didn't have relations until you were married. One was a virgin until you're married. You did not commit adultery. Remember the example I spoke about, Ingrid Bergman and what happened to her with the son born out of an adulterous relationship. These were the values. So there could be many professors who came along and said, we don't believe in God, we are agnostics, we are atheists. But one has to live with seven basic concepts that the Jews talk about, because that's for the good of civilization. It's not that God commanded, it's that our minds reach these conclusions. When it is man-made, then you can undo it just as well. Look what happened to the civilized world, what they call the modern world, the progressive world, the liberal world, but it should be correctly called the paganistic world, a total pagan lifestyle. Chazal say, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I believe it's Ayin Dalet, Yadu Yisrael Sheba Avodah Zarah Ein Bahem Mamish. V'lo Avdu Avodah Zarah Ela Lahatil Lahem Arayat Sheber Parhasiyah. That Gemara says it all. Everyone knew that there's nothing to Avodah Zarah. But the people loved the Avodah Zarah. How they worshipped incest, public orgies, etc. Shem Yirachem. Look where the human being has reached today when it's not God commanded. We are murderers. Abortions. Not just 30 days. 7 months. 8 months. Abortions. A method of birth control. Murder. Permitted. In America, the priests have a big problem with the president because he goes to communion occasionally. How can you give communion to a Catholic who openly advocates for absolute freedom to do abortions at will and choice? Not cases of emergency, of a woman is ill, the baby can take her life, etc. We know what the halacha is. Here, freedom, abortion. Sexual standards? What are you talking about? Kids in high school are getting condoms free of charge. It's beyond comprehension. We've taken the sex out of sex, turned it into a simple, vulgar biological need. Marriage, what kind of sanctity? Adulterous relations, polygamous relationship. There's now a new trend that you look in New Yorker magazine, high class, all Jews writing, some of them Israelis, Bamakar, it's beyond words. Men, women, a whole group. Don't even want to go further, mention it. Don't want to soil my mouth. Homosexuality, lesbianism, same-sex marriage. Euthanasia. Person is tired of living. Kill me. Person is ill. Why should he suffer? Kill him. Why not? When it's man-oriented, not God, then you are the source. Your mind, which at times can be demented, perverted, bribed, you're the source of all ethics and morals. My dear students, there never was a Rambam that's more correct. I repeat the Rambam. Aval imasam ipnei hechreyet hadat. It's your own thinking, not God-oriented. Ein zegeto sheveinim chesidei umat olam ela mechachameihem. And it could even be the propagator is Eino mechachameihem. He's a fool, he's an idiot. Look at the New York Times, what became of that paper with self-hating Jews, liberals, progressiveness, etc. Lies, slander, murder, sexual abuse, go continue. There isn't a crime that man cannot be guilty of when he determines what is right and what is wrong. And Reb Menashe Klein, when he quotes this Rambam, very firm sources. A Jew has to observe. A Gentile, beyond the Sheva Mitzvot, there's no obligation. But the Sheva Mitzvot, absolutely obligated. And if he doesn't observe, then al pi halacha, he's chayav mitah. And here you talk about helping a non-Jewish lady who fell. Why do I have to help her? Look into the Rambam, Hilchot Mamrim, Perek Gimel, Malin v'ein Moridin, Moridin v'ein Malin. Here, someone chayav mitah fell down. Why lift them up? Why pick them up? And this is the first part of the tshuva. And he says, upashut, I mean, to him this is simple, the mizman hazeh al kol panim ledati aniya leka b'chol olam af nachri echad sheyekayim sheva mitzvot b'nei noach v'sheyekayimam Mikam shenatnu lechem al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha-shalom v'ze pashut ma'od lefi anivadati. Wow. And this is Reb Menashe Klein, the Holocaust survivor, saw the brilliant Germans, the intelligent Germans, the sophisticated Germans, the learned Germans, and look what they did to the Jewish people, man, woman, and child, infants. It's beyond comprehension. You have to be moved and sympathetic with Menashe Klein's approach. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he already rose above the tragedy, rose above the heartache, rose above the ashes, rose above the gas chambers. And there are Gentiles in the world who are fine, good, upright people. And I think the Lubavitcher Rebbe's position, my humble opinion, but I didn't go through the gas chambers, is more correct. There are fine Gentiles. And with these people, Ein Hachinami, Mechasidei Umat Olam, and these are people who have divine commitment, divine understanding. Man is not alone. This world didn't come into being by chance. The saga of human existence is fascinating, but the Ribbono Shel Olam ultimately runs the world. And perhaps the greatest proof that we're sitting here in the year 2022, learning Torah, preaching Torah, propagating Torah, and rebuilding our homeland with all the difficulty involved. No one said Binyan Bayit Shlishi would come easy. The Midrashim conflict each other, and I'll have a lot to say on this in just a few words and show you one source that totally negates the Satmar point of view and opens our eyes to what life is about and Israel is about in contemporary times. But we'll leave that for a few years from now when we are finishing Satmar Be'ezrat Hashem. But this is Reb Menashe Klein. Now, after all this, halacha lemaisa, he says, we absolutely have to pick the woman up. She falls. Look, we're living among the Gentiles. I'm paraphrasing him. And once we live among the Gentiles, we have to get along with them. And he introduces the concept of mipnei darkei shalom. And this is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Aleph, Daf Samach Bet. Look it up in your Adaya, Siman Kuf Mem Chet. And you'll say there, the Gemara says, Mufansin Aniye Akum, you have to feed the poor, contribute to the poor, Gentile and Jew. We have to bury the Gentile. Anything that comes under the concept of gemilat chesed, of a good, charitable deed, we cannot differentiate. We don't start asking sheva mitzvot and how observant they are. On this level, it's almost like the Rav Mori Rebbe, we quoted him many times, that in Auschwitz, they didn't ask whether you put on tefillin that morning or you didn't put on tefillin. Everyone was forced into the gas chamber. Human existence, Darkei Shalom, everyone is equal. And I have to say that when you talk about Tomchei Shabbat, so I can tell you, halacha lemaisa, many of the Tomchei Shabbat, they not only give poor Jews, if they know of poor Gentiles, they'll also leave food for them. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Shabbat, food, Jews need, Gentiles appreciate it. Burial, a lot has been written, it doesn't mean to bury the Gentile with the Jew, among the Jews, but the pshat is to see that there's proper Gentile burial in a separate part of the cemetery. But a Jew is obligated, charity, stucca, hospitals, medical research, our first obligation is lahadil Torah lahadira. But beyond that, absolutely to help the non-Jew, we're all part of the human challenge, the human existence, the human saga. And he paskins lahalacha, absolutely chayav, lift the lady up. And if you talk about punishing the non-Jews, there's a line here that as a Holocaust survivor you can appreciate it. And he says, and certainly bizman hazeh lahanisham, that we should punish them for not observing kol shekein dein kolach biyodeinu v'halvai shehem lo ya'anshu otanu bi'iyunim b'avonoteinu harabim, and halavai we can't punish them who has koach, and halavai they shouldn't punish us. And he's referring to Hitler, inuyim, the torture. Halavai bizman hazeh, we certainly can't do anything negative to them, and halavai they shouldn't do anything negative to us. Now, let me go one step further in this tshuva. Okay. The whole question here, I'll show you the Rambam. This whole question of man, woman, touching. It all goes back to a very famous Rambam, Hilchot Isuri Bia, Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Call, and what I'm quoting to you, I want to acknowledge we could spend a year or two on just this topic with all the sources, but I'll give you the main sources, the Rambam, and then I'll give you the Sefer Mitzvot. Perek Chaf Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Hilchot Isuri Bia, Kol Haba Al Eben Min HaRayot Derech Evarim O Shechibek V'Nishak Derech Ta'ava V'Ne'eneh Mikiruv Basa HaReza Loka Min HaTorah. The Rambam Shita Elisha Ben Ratutma Lo Tikrav, time and again you find the quotation, lo tikrav, various arayat, isurim. So what does that mean? The Rambam's pshat, I'll give you the source in a minute, is lo tikrav means sexual relations. Any other form of affection is rabbinically prohibited, but not prohibited by the Torah. That is not Maimonides' viewpoint. Maimonides call Habor Aleva Min Arayat Derech Eberma Shechi Beit V'Nishak Derech Taiva V'Nenem Bikirib Basa, that if you do it voluptuously, with sexual feeling, with the sexual urge, and you feel good kissing the girl, putting your arm around her, pulling her near to you, you are chayav midioraita, chayav malkot. That's lo tikrav. Maimonides. Look into the Magid Mishnah. It's a long Magid Mishnah. And he quotes right away, he says, this is a tremendous machloiket and seifan mitzvot of the Rambam, lo tasei shin nun gimel. And tremendous machloket, Maimonides and Nachmanides. HaRambam nechalav alav ba'asagot shechiber al sefer ha-mitzvah, and in his emendations or his strictures or his critique, v'omer shahadrasha hazot shebesifra eina ela asmachta, the ain bakan malkat mina Torah ela biu biya gemura obehara V'ha-harich b'zeh lo'chiyat dat-daisto. It's a long Rambam, and the Rambam argues with Maimonides. All right, so it's big machloket rishonim, very famous machloket rishonim. But what do you see from the Rambam? That even if you hold that lotik rav and isidi or writer is not just on actual sexual relations, but closeness, holding, kissing, hugging, it's only with ta'ava. Even the Rambam has to admit that if it's done without the sexual overtone, there is no Issei D'Oraita. My dear friends, this takes us to last Monday's class. This is the question I raised, Shlomo Lekalbach. So much has been written after his death. And Klal Yisrael, do we accept him? Don't we accept him? We'll come back to the topic again this Monday very briefly. But this is the heart of the question. Kalbach viewed his holding, touching, kissing every person who came to him, holy brother, holy sister, belitava, belitava. Can we justify him? Very difficult to justify. A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. I was asked the question, either sincerely or facetiously, in the golden days of BMT and Machon Gold, the brother and sister institution. And a girl asked me, if a boy gives a Devat Torah, and the girl wants to give him a Yashar Koyach, can she shake hands with him? So I answered, if the boy is over 90, perhaps we can be matir. But under 90, chas v'chalila. And you see, ein apitropis ala rayat. How can you say you're going to put your arm around the girl and give a chizak? Lo nehene, b'li tava? I don't know. I told you the Rav was asked this question, and as far as I know, he refused the paskin. And I told you, with a therapist, when you have a teenage boy, the kid has never been loved, his parents didn't get along, they threw him out of the house, and the therapist is dealing with him when he's 18, 19, 20, and you put your arm around him, and terrific, the kid walks away. Someone has confidence in me. Someone cares about me. No, reverse it. It's a young lady who's gone through hell. And now she's trying to straighten out, and she comes to you for therapy. And she dafka wants a Talmud Chacham, a Ben Torah. I have many students who are, have two very prominent students who are both Rabbanim and PhDs in psychology and work in the field. And Talmidei Chachamim Yireim V'Shleimim. And if he could put his hand around her, give her chizek, and he says, B'li Tava. I could never be Mater. That's all I can tell you. And I understand the Rav also didn't want to give an answer. The question is a real question. I don't want to push it away. I can tell you, comes back to mind, I had a chavruta in high school and college. We learned together many years. Ray Weinberg lives in Haifa. We've lost contact with each other. He's exactly my age. He was married. His first wife, who died young, was a twin sister of Rabbi Saul Berman, if that helps you identify, who were Marsha Berman. They were twins, and she died young, lo aleinu. I taught some of their daughters in Michala. They came in Aliyah. Maybe the year we did, or a year or two afterwards. And, he remarried, he lives in Haifa. And I remember him telling me that he had a relative, it may have been an uncle, who was an obstetrician. And he asked the uncle, How are you an obstetrician? How do you deal with nude women? You're a frum guy, a married man. And the uncle answered him, he says, when I'm working, they're not women to me. It's like you're helping human beings. And that's what the uncle answered him. It's not my wife. It's not a lady. There's no taiva. All right, there are many Jewish men who are obstetricians. I don't have to tell you. Many of them are frum, 100%. Maybe in their case it's correct. You can answer like that. But when it comes to boy, girl, girl, boy, man, woman, with all due respect to their knowing the Rambam, and they say b'li ta'ava, halacha l'maisa, very hard lahatir. A doctor I can understand. We'll come to it next term, Be'ezrat Hashem, with a doctor. But very hard beyond that. And here, Rabbi Nasha Klein quotes the Rambam, and he says that even according to the Rambam, Elenegiya shel chiba leke isur, he says. And here in a case like this, al achat kama bakama, you can be makil to lift her up, because there certainly are enough Rishonim who are choylek on the Rambam that the mere touching is not an Issa D'oraita. And even though it may be an Issa D'rabbanan, but b'li chibar, and here there's a woman that fell, that seemingly there's no sexual overtone here. And nira d'benidan didan d'ika hanegiya eina l'shem negiya klal ela l'hakima, that your whole touching her is not for any sexual or male-female overtone, but it's only to lift her up, certainly it should be muta. And if you say it's during the winter and she's wearing clothes and you're not touching the skin, then al achat kama v'kama, it should be muta. And he says, but nevertheless, halacha l'maisa, even if you can't put a handkerchief on her hand or you can't pull her coat down, l'hakima, you should be able to lift her, and it is mutter, and there shouldn't be a chilul Hashem. And I want to end off, there's an anecdote about the Satmaruv. Don't know if it's true or not. But they say that when he came to Switzerland after the Kastner train, and you all know, again, I said a vodka, I don't know if I said it in class to the Reb David this morning, I said, Meirav Michaeli has a schut from her grandfather. Her grandfather was Rudolf Kastner. He saved the Satmaruv, and he saved the Jungreis family. So she has a schut from her grandfather. So they say about the Satmaruv that the queen of Switzerland, if I'm speaking correctly, or the queen of some other neighboring country, wanted to meet him and wanted to shake hands with him and get a bracha. And they say that he put gloves on and shook hands with her. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But that's what Reb Menashe Klein is saying, that if you can lift her up and you can pull the coat down, he says it's during the winter, then of course there's no direct negia, then it's not even an inyan of chiba v'tava, but it's lahakima, and it should be muta. So, my dear students, with this we end off the Sunday class. I have to be honest with you, I'm a very bad student. I didn't listen to my Rebbe. As you all recall, when I was so ill with the pandemic, with the corona, COVID-19 they call it in the States, so for the first 2 weeks I was half in this world and half in the next world, lo aleinu. And there I am talking with my Rebbe. And the Rav told me, drop your Sunday class. Remember what I told you? He said to me, there are about 100 people in the world who know Shas and Paiskim, Shalat and Shuvit. They can do what you're doing. But your Monday class, Yitz Rubin just gave me Missa this morning on the same topic. I don't think there's anyone else in the world right now who has an interest in what I wound up being so proficient in the history of Torah in the modern world. Devote both classes so you should finish all the notes you have written. And I didn't listen to my Rebbe. I took Jack's advice, and I'm very happy I didn't listen. Rebbe, forgive me. I'm your Talmud, but I'm not a chassid. I have freedom of choice. And Torah Hashem, I have to be honest with you, the Sunday class is infinitely more important than the Monday class, although lo alai, the Monday class gets more visitors than the Sunday class. So I'm very happy. What did we do today? We have a lot more to do on this topic of Jew-Gentile relations. And we'll pick up exactly where we left off some point in August. I'll have Morty Tarrigan send out a mailing. I have no idea yet the way the Kollel will work. Right now, everyone is basically, almost everyone is gone already. Technically, no one was, everyone had to be out of here by this Tuesday, so most left already last week. I have no idea whether it'll be Zoom, whether it'll be Zoom and live classes. I trust it'll be live classes. It'll all have to be worked out. The Kollel has a separate problem that the people coming here, many have children and they can't get passports for the children right now. America's backed up with requests for passports because of Corona. And they say if you apply now, you might have a passport, I think it's in October or November. And the Kollel is beginning in August, obviously. So we'll work it out. Whatever is worked out in Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll ask Morty to protect you. But what we did today, we continued with the Shaila from the Tells Yeshiva boy. A woman falls down, a non-Jewish woman. Can you lift her up? And it's a very important Shuvah of Rabbi Menashe Klein that I think you have to understand within the context of the Kollel and the Kollel, the context of the Shoah, the Holocaust, and you have to contradistinct Reb Menashe from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I don't think we have anything to be ashamed about this point of view. The hatred of the Jew, it's just beyond comprehension. We've all gone through it. We all have seen what's happened. I had a grandson in Lod that had to be relocated in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. I have a grandson in Givat Shmuel. A rocket fell two doors away from his apartment. And it was just shocking. And he's a seasoned fighter who was injured in battle, a tzanchan, a Gibor Yisrael. And he told me he never had noise like the noise when that rocket hit. And I don't have to go further than myself on Yom Yerushalayim. I'm listening to the 6 o'clock news and they interrupt and they say Yerushalayim. I couldn't believe my ears. And 1 minute later, I heard the first missile fall. Three, four missiles fell within a half hour. I heard four different fallings. Beyond comprehension. And with it all, look what the world had to say. So with this congenital hatred, I'm not going to dismiss Reb Menashe Klein too easily. Halacha l'maisa, all right. I understand the Rambam. I think I said something of very powerful insight. And everyone struggles. Where did the Rambam get this concept from? But if you see what's happened to the world, you can understand very well when it's not God-oriented, but man-oriented, it is meaningless. It is worthless. It'll last for a year or two, 10 years, 20, 30, and 40, 50 years later, look where we're at. I'm surprised that they still allow In God We Trust to be published or printed or implanted on American coins and American bills. But someone said a good word to me, it's like Christmas. Christmas is still called Christmas, but a good Catholic says they took the CH out of Christmas. So, in God we trust, no different than some other slogan, is basically meaningless in the year 2022. Halavai, it should be better, but halacha l'maisa, mefansin ani akum, mania Yisrael, and everything else that goes with it, gemilat chesed is gemilat chesed, and it would be a tremendous kol Hashem for it tells yeshiva boy to walk past a woman that fell. Are there any questions in the classroom? All right, I want to thank the students in front of me. One is a student for the last 15 years or so, and one is a student who knew me when I had hair on my head and my kneecaps were working properly. It's the old days of BMT. Until we meet again here, Das Vedanya, tomorrow, 9 o'clock, totally different world, but a very, very fascinating world. Rav Shlomo Kalbach's youth, and if I can, I'll reach his greatest contribution. I'm sure I will not finish him tomorrow, but we have a world more Meir Kahana, and then Rebbetzin Jungreis, and perhaps some point after Sukkot, we will hit the Satmar Rav. Yomo, can you open it to the world, to all the erudite people in front of me? These people have so many titles, Rabbanim, PhDs, deans of schools, etc. Are there any questions from the Rebbe students around the world?
I'd like to ask a question. First of all, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to Morty Carrigan because he enabled everybody to enjoy your lectures through the Zoom.
Right.
Secondly, Christians today do not believe in Tolem and Moshe, but they do believe in Tolem from Jesus. So they would say that the seven laws of the name Noah does not originate at Sinai, but originates at the Mount of Beatitudes or somewhere in the Galilee when Jesus lectured. But they still have, I mean, believing Christians, the idea that it comes from God.
Right. So I want to tell you, look at the 19 letters of Rav Kirsch, and you'll see how that's developed. That the whole concept of exile was that we should civilize the world. So I would say, if they say it's a derivative of Jesus, which comes from the Old Testament, I would say the Rambam would be in agreement that they're Hasidei Umat Olam. You follow? But look at Rav Kirsch, the 19 letters. You'll see it developed very, very powerfully, the Jew, the Gentile, the exile. Jack, you wanted to ask?
Another question, not related really to the lectures of the class. Why did the Rav conclude mentioning for Aliyah Chasreinu instead of continuing?
No, the Rav once said to us that if you're in a rush, you can just finish off the fourth bracha and that's it. It's very simple. The first three bracha d'oraita, v'achalta v'savata v'erachta. The fourth bracha was added on after Beitar, etc., to thank God for his kindness. They came to burial. What comes afterwards is not part of benching. It's just over the years, good Jews added on nice concepts. So I remember the Rav said, if you're in a rush, you can leave that out. So I said to myself, considering the olam I'm looking at, a lot of people are always in a rush. V'day l'chakima. But I say it all because, very simply, it's beautiful thoughts. Nahayiti v'gam sakanti v'loriti tzadik nezal v'zakam avar. Why can't we say it? I'll tell you, I told you of what Mr. Mendel Gottesman. The one, I heard this from his son when he spoke about his father on the Yard side. It was a Gottesman fellow, Mr. Mendel Gottesman, who we spoke about in our history of Torah in the United in the Western world. Here's a man who gave $200,000 in the 1920s to build the Yeshiva College campus. So he said of Art, how can you say Na'iti v'lo re'iti tzadik nezof? He said, I've seen plenty of tzadikim who are hungry. He said, no, I'll tell you what the pshat is. V'lo riti tzadik nezov, that I didn't help. So just to think of Mr. Gottesman's vort and to say the benching, Baruch Hashem, lo riti tzadik nezov, v'lo azavti. And all right, this is it. It means a lot to me. But that's the reason. I'll peek in. You're not chayiv to say beyond the end of the bracha of the fourth bracha. Okay, that's the pshat and the rav, and that's halacha lemaisa. I personally don't remember any time I didn't say it all. But you don't have to. I understand that. Yeah. Who else?
Rabbi, just one thing. What you said about whether or not it comes from Hashem, I remember Rabbi Manfred Fulda spoke to us once in YU on Yom HaShoah. He was a survivor too. And so he said, that's what Abraham says to Avimelech when he says, Ein Yelat Elokim B'Makom Hazeh, that he's saying to Avimelech, Avimelech was saying, I'm a moral person. I never would have touched your wife, you know, had I known that she was married to you. So Abraham says, I'm sure you're a moral person, Avimelech, and you have rules, but your rules don't come from Hashem. There's no Yelat Hashem. So you can say, oh, so if I kill her husband, she's not a married woman anymore, you know, something like that. So he said that he compared it to Germany. He said, you know, you had all these philosophers who were beautiful, and they said beautiful things, and they had beautiful thoughts, but ultimately it didn't come from Hashem. So, so the Jews aren't really human beings. He can kill them. It's not, you know, think of reasons all the time.
Right. What you say is correct, and he may be reflecting the Rav's thinking. But you see, actually, there during the Holocaust, I had the feeling.
I think he may have gotten out. I think he got out with the year, you know, he's a German. So
yeah, no, they got out at the late 30s. I remember there was a psak. His father had a jewelry store in Washington Heights. And his father sold crosses, Jewish stars, crosses. So they asked him, he said, his father asked the Shaila, and they told him that a crucifix you can't sell. That is a religious object. But a cross is like a Jewish star. It's a meaningless thing. It just says where you're coming from. So that they were matir. And I can understand the psak, and that's what his father did. Manfred Fulda was one of a kind. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. The Rav had around him, the Rav raised some fabulous Talmidei Chacham. I have to tell you, it's a credit to YU. One of the questions I got from America with the I spoke about this before class, before we started recording, before class, but the OU interviewed me on Wednesday morning, and by the way, Yitz, you got to thank Yomo. Yomo comes in early, especially early, sets up the room, sets up the internet, sets up the microphone. Kala Kavodlo, and the OU sent a big professional here with lighting and schmiting, and they set up a whole studio, but without Yomo, nothing would have happened. So beginning at 7:30 our time, 12:30 their time, they wanted to do it when it would be evening here, but I told them in the afternoon, I don't have the koach I have in the morning. I have to make peace with my age. So they did it in the morning. Kala Kavod to them, because they began 12:30 midnight, and we finished 2 o'clock in the morning. So I got a lot of interesting questions, but one of them was a chassid asked me, maybe a Kloisenberger, who listened to the shirim, because they introduced me, that you're the only one that everyone listens to shiurim from Satmar to Kloisenberg to Lakewood to Ne Yisrael to YU, etc. The only one who's not listening is probably Chovevei Torah. And I can understand why. So why didn't I stay in Lakewood a few more years? So, you know, I answered, my parents wanted me to leave. I wanted to stay there for life. But I should have answered that when I went to YU, it's not that we got out of the Rav with as much as anyone got out of Lakewood. The only difference was in Lakewood you had time for everything. You didn't rush. YU, boy, did you have to work hard, because you had a full college curriculum and a yeshiva curriculum. But YU gave me the ability all my life to work hard. I mean, even today, I only teach Kollel. It's not like the old days that I ran from here to there and taught. I taught so much every Baruch Hashem. But on the other hand, I have to tell you, I already learned 4 Siddurim this morning. I get up at 4. I start learning. I'll be learning a little bit more later today. I'll be writing Be'ezrat Hashem. And remember, I have a wife and children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You have to be a mensch. So I got that out of YU, and I modeh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I don't think I would have learned any more than I did coming back to Yeshiva Shmuel Yochanan, had I remained in Lakewood. I went into Rav Volk Shir, 2 years, Rav Volk, Telj, and then the Rav, and wow, did we, my father used to tell him, when my parents came in Aliyah, they lived around the corner from BMT, they lived in Rehov Shachal. So my father used to tell the kids he met, you study with my son, oh, yours, he said, do you know that I would get up to go, my father was a postman, he used to get up to go to work like at 4:30, he would find me asleep at the kitchen table. I would be writing up the Rav Sheyurim, what I heard, and then I fell asleep at the table. But all right, it maybe it's not healthy to go to YU. Go to Lakewood, B'menuchat HaNefesh. But I didn't learn any less by switching. So anyone listening from the OU is going to hear that interview. Add this to the interview, please. Yeah, Jack, did you want to ask something?
There's something in the Shuva that you left out, and I have a feeling you did it on purpose, and now everybody's going to look at the Shuva.
What are you talking about?
Near the end. Near the end.
What are you talking? What are you doing? Oh, I know what Jack is saying. No, I didn't leave it out on purpose. I felt he paskin what he paskin, but time is ticking away. But at the end he says, Umigu Pashet, that if the im efshal halim ayin velo lerot, you can turn around the corner and disappear, velo yetzei chelo Hashem b'dava, kol arum yaseh b'dat v'in tzarech alich b'zeh, k'muvan. In other words, have a little seichel, be cunning, arum, and cross the street and don't get involved. I'll tell you, the Lubavitcher Rebbe would not have paskened that way. The Lubavitcher Rebbe would have paskened, lift the person up, covered. And that's the way I would paskin. But again, I have to understand Reb Menashe Klein and where he's coming from. But Yasha Kayach Jack, I should have mentioned it. I just was looking at the clock. But I'll tell you what.
As a total aside, when you said the Rav about Harachman, I would assume as a brisker, there's a good probability the Rav didn't say Harachman on Shabbos Mishum Bakasha.
I don't know. I didn't hear that from the Rav. I only heard, again, I don't want to put into the Rav's mouth what I didn't hear. But I did hear from the Rav, this is the end of benching, and these all suffered. Okay? But all right, could be you're giving lumdis. But I remember with Tzitzit, when I mentioned that the Briska don't kiss their Tzitzits, and I said to me, the knowing Rabbi Ruchin Gerel, ceremonia! Oh, Rabbi Ruchin used to go crazy. To me, I understood the brisker as looking at it as a primitive practice. Did I get information from all around the world that they're holding the four tzitzit, two tzitzit, with lumdis? And then I found out, I was taka right, that the brisker viewed it as a prevalent kush the tzitzis? Listen, I'll never forget Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelik, it's hard to quote this, but he was wild at times. So a kid, a Chaim Nashman, I remember it like yesterday, we grew up in the Bronx together. He later becomes chazan for 50, 60 years in a conservative temple in Detroit. And his kids are frum. His daughter is a rabbi of a kahila, but frum, everyone is frum. So they were my students. So Chaim Nashman was raised, and his father was a sheikh, it was a chassidish yid. So he walks in, And his tzitzis are out, you know, in dreisen, are outside, sticking out. So Rabbi Yeruchim went crazy. Chaim, das ist die einzige mitzvah, was du hast. Du hast noch eine mitzvah. Weißt du? God, I can't even repeat it. I don't want to translate it. Rabbi Yeruchim went crazy. One time, a kid is kissing the mezuzah. Rabbi Yeruchim, Mekush the mezuzah is noch a mitzvah, kush on noch a mitzvah. Oh my gosh, what we suffered from Rabbi Yeruchim. But he was Rabbi Yeruchim Yeralik. No one built more than he built from the whole Bronx crowd, all the survivors of Mir and Rotten and Shanghai and whatnot. He built the school for boys, he built the school for girls, he raised a tribe. Rabbi Yeruchim was Rabbi Yeruchim. All right, I'm proud to say had great rebbeim. Some of them missed the boat with Zionism, and that I'm writing about. Yitzchak, you have to understand what I'm writing now, I consider the most important thing I've ever written. It's all my knowledge comes together in it. I'll be dealing with Zionism and what went wrong, etc. And how the Gedolim, some of the Gedolim, there's a Medrash Rabbah that you have to repeat and repeat and repeat. But all right, leave that. Yitzchak is mad at me why I don't write up. I think this is now the 10th year already that we're finishing on the history of Torah in the Western world. So I told Yitzchak he should write it up. It'll be, if it's of any value, they can write it up in 100 years from now. If the tapes, if the video, if everything remains online, we're blessed. I cry for the shirim I gave in the 70s into the 80s that are not online. You don't know the shirim I gave on the Rav. But that's life. Could you imagine if we had the Rav online, his shiurim? I shiver, I shake. All right, gentlemen.
The shiurim on the Rav from Lincoln Square, I don't think the audio is on, but the transcription, I think, is online.
Let me just tell you that one day you'll say, Mark, you will say, I was proud to have known my Rebbe, Aaron Rakefet. In 50 years, he asked me to elaborate. Gentlemen, until we meet again, in health.
Right, Rebbe, one thing. When you said about the cross, you write about that in the book on Rav Revel, that he had the same question.
About what?
The diploma.
The cross on the... St. John's University. In the book on Revel, in my work on Revel, which... It brought me to, got me a job in Israel, etc., etc. And go and dream, I was writing about my own cousin. It's unbelievable. My whole doctorate is worthless. A guy wrote about his own cousin. Get the heck out of here. So give me my doctorate. By the way, that came up on Wednesday, that the Nova Minska praised my book time and again on Reb Lazer Silver. So give me my doctorate on Reb Lazer Silver. Fine. So I put together all the tshuva that I found Revel answered. They're not many, but it's very fascinating. It's an appendix to the book. And one of the questions was, you're getting a degree from St. John's University, which is in Queens, it's in Hillcrest. And tremendous university, you're getting a law degree. And on the degree is a cross. Are you allowed to accept it? So my Rebbe was mati, the same thought, that the cross is not, it's not a religious symbol, as a symbol of identity. You're from the Christian world, but it doesn't mean you're a practicing Christian going to church. It's not a crucifix. And he paskin b'alacha exactly the same thought that Rabbi Manfred Fulda told us about his parents. I want to thank everyone. Tomorrow morning is another day, and we'll be, as Rav Hashem, roll further. And I got to quote something Rabbi Grinstein sent me that made me laugh and cry and brought back interesting memories. We'll quote it tomorrow before we begin Shia. And until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Kol Tuv Selah.